Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You're about to listen to another proud presentation brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs. Stand out from the crowd. For more information, visit RevengeLover.com and mention the podcast for 10% off of your order.
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
I just smooshed the lip balm all the way. Ew, man. No. Have you never done that when you put the lid on and you accidentally clip a part of the balm and it just kind of smooshes?
That sounds like a first world problem.
It is. It completely is. I'm not denying that at all. It's gross.
No, that does sound gross, even though I don't use a lot of lip balm. What am I doing? Why am I not moisturizing?
You should. If you get a good one with the SPF in it, protect against skin cancer.
Oh, well, now I definitely need that. You ready to get into some Blake Foster drama?
Oh.
Oh, Lord.
Why do you say, oh, Lord? I want to just, like, explain the situation and our stance on it.
I say, oh, Lord, because it's ridiculous. Just, it is absolutely the stupidest. Obviously, we have to talk about it, but I feel like in talking about it, we're giving him more promotion than he deserves.
That, but also, like, who didn't see this coming? None of it shocks me.
Oh, it didn't shock me either, especially the half-felt apology.
Mm-hmm.
And then the backtrack. And then the second health-filled apology.
And then, wait, there was a second?
I thought so. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
That was like my whole weekend entertainment.
I just watched Endgame and...
I've seen it twice now. Yeah, it's really good.
We've all seen it.
That movie.
I think I cried like six separate times during the movie.
Yeah, I was a mess. I absolutely teared up. And even watching it the second time, I teared up again. And I was like, why am I crying? I've seen this already. I know how awesome this is.
Yeah.
I cried tears of joy every time Captain Marvel showed up.
My point that I cried both times, and it was like joyous fanboy tears, mm-hmm. was when all of the appear and Cap picks up and he's just like... And I'm like,
I don't know if you guys listened to the last Ranger Command. Well, you guys don't listen to our show.
I listen to our show.
You said you didn't before.
I don't.
I love you guys, but I also hate you guys. No, I'm kidding. And we're at the top row.
Yeah.
What is that?
Sorry, that's me. I'm dusting while we talk.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like you're shushing him.
Sorry, I have a can of compressed air here. I dusted my computer the other day.
And now on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Ay, 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 ay! It's the Ranger Command Power Hour!
Today on the Power Hour, episode 140, Rangers Review, Beast Morphers, episode 7 and 8, recorded on May 1st, 2019. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Summer Ranger up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47.
I'm AP, also known as Secret Ranger Band.
And I'm Zach, also known as Hollywood.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/RangerCommandPH to learn more about supporting Ranger Command Power Hour. Thanks to our $5 and above patrons, Juan S, Doug F, Bo H, Tyler W, Eric D, Steve F, Sean V, Christopher M, Liz M, Arnold O, Derek G, Teresa B, and Jacob P for supporting us this month. I gotta go fast.
Gotta go. Oh, no. No.
Probably the worst trailer I have ever seen. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Listen, let's be honest. There's one reason to go see that movie, and his name is Jim Carrey.
Dude, I don't even know if he can save that.
No, that's the thing. He cannot save it. This movie is a disaster waiting to happen. However, I'm going to enjoy the shit out of watching Jim Carrey ham it up for an hour and a half.
Oh, sure. That's what he does best.
Yeah.
There's like negative reasons to go see this movie. The human teeth. Human feet, human hands.
The design of Sonic is absolutely nightmare fuel. However, I have faith in Jim Carrey.
The human teeth. Why does he have human teeth?
Oh, God.
Did you guys see the Photoshop someone did where they replaced the eye holes with two more of his mouth? I feel offended as a Sonic fan. Like, I've been a Sonic the Hedgehog fan since I was a child. I mean, I haven't played probably the last decade of games or anything, but, you know, I was pretty big into Sonic. I think we talked about this on the show before, but...
Listen, I'm not a Sonic fan, and I'm offended. This is
just... It's garbage. Anywho, enough movie talk. We got some Power Rangers stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
First off, we'll kick off the news with Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. The free story mode update is out now. The new story mode is written by Kyle Higgins, which is a remix of the Shattered Grid comic event. Voiceover work from Power Ranger actors Jason David Frank as Tommy Oliver, Austin St. John as Jason Lee Scott, David Fielding as Zordon, and he also voices the Cenozoic Blue Ranger. Kerrigan Mahan, our buddy, is back as Goldar.
That's awesome.
And I was able to play a little bit of this. All the grunts are in there, and then he says some things. It's great. Like, all of them say stuff.
I'm going to have to hop on tonight and play it because I can't wait. I did end up getting it for my PlayStation.
And we also have Megan Camarena, who played Chloe from Power Rangers Hyperforce. She's actually voicing Kimberly, not for the first time, because she voiced Kimberly at Shattered Grid Live at Power Morphicon back in August. And I was able to get confirmation from Melissa Flores, who right now is the Power Rangers development and production for Allspark Pictures, because there were some questions about voice actors, because I took a screenshot of the credits in the game, and that kind of went viral a little bit. And the unfortunate thing is they just list the names and not who they were playing. Mm. So I reached out to her, and there's also Kyle Abear. He plays Mike / Magna Defender. And not only that, but apparently he's going to be voicing Krueger whenever that update happens.
Ooh. Kyle Abear, he's got one of those great voices that, like, he can do really deep and gruff, and, like, I think he's gonna be a good fit for Krueger.
I cannot wait to hear that. That's gonna be amazing. It's not in story mode right now because they only released two acts of story mode. I guess act two ends on a to be continued. I don't know, because I'm trying to beat the last level, and I'm sorry, but pitting you as Kimberly with two lives versus three Macedon sentries, each with two lives, is ridiculous. I was playing for like 35 minutes and could not beat that. It's crazy. Anywho, apparently there is going to be a couple more acts coming out for story mode over the course of the next few months. But from what I've seen, it's really great. I mean, Doggy Krueger does show up, but kind of like in the text portion. But you can see that they do have a Shadow Ranger model. It wasn't a drawing by Dan Mora. It was an actual in-game model. So I'm like, I'm just counting the days till Doggy is added to this game.
That would be amazing. Absolutely.
Because Cat Ranger's already in there, who Melissa Flores also voiced.
That's awesome.
That's really
Carrie
cool.
Carrie Karanen, she's like an anime voice actress. If you guys ever seen Berserk, she was Casca in the original Berserk dub. So she did the voices of Rita, Trini, and Jen. And her Rita was pretty good, because I was thinking that was Barbara Goodson. It was really good. And I guess Kyle Higgins actually now voices the Macedon sentries.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and he also voice directed the game for story mode.
That
not only did
awesome.
He write it, but he directed the sound session. So really cool. I really love this update because it actually gives voices to all of the characters in the game. So even if you're not doing story mode, if you're just doing fights, like, they'll still say their taglines and all that stuff. So it was a much needed update. There's also new stages like Corinth, Planet Earth, the Cenozoic era, Command Center Malfunctioning, which is in story mode only, and also Lord Draken's Throne Room flashback. So it's the pristine version of his throne room, but that's also only for story mode. And then this update, this free update, adds the new fighters, Dragon Armor Trainee, Mystic Force, Sorceress Udana, and the Cenozoic Blue Ranger. So it is out now for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and depending on when the time you listen to this episode, I know it was delayed a little bit for Nintendo Switch, but it should be out pretty soon for Switch. And I played a little bit of it. It's I think it's fun. I think the game is definitely improving with a lot of these patches and these updates. And we still haven't even got the season one pass content yet. So there's more stuff coming in the future. Mm-hmm. I think story mode kind of spoiled maybe some of the Rangers that might be showing up if they're really tying it to Shattered Grid. I like it. Even if you read the comics, they change enough things. It's a little bit of a remix. Situations play out slightly differently, but from what I've seen so far, I think they Kyle did a great job. And even the non-dialogue portions, like when it's just text on the screen, kind of like arcade mode, the writing in that is pretty sharp. I think at one point there's one character that's talking to Jason, and I can bash you right now, and Jason's like, that's fine, but for me this is like another weekday. And so like a little nod to the show, which is pretty hilarious. So I think it's a great update. I'm still not 100% satisfied with the game, only because I've been having horrible connection issues to even play a ranked match or even a casual one. I keep getting booted. So it's not on my end. I've got great internet. So I don't know what the issue is on their servers. And for me, I've been trying a little over a week and nothing's really been fixed. So willing to give Enway a little bit of a pass for it. But at some point it's like, okay, I want to play with other people with these new characters, especially since a lot of the achievements, at least for the Xbox version and badges for everywhere else, a lot of them are tied to playing ranked and casual matches. Plus, I want to level up my characters. Have any of you guys got a chance to play? Oh, AP, I know you don't because you got the 360, but...
Got some old system.
Yeah, I bought it for my PS4. I did give it a quick, like maybe 10-minute glance over, and then I had to go to work or I had to go out for something or other. But I dig the style. I love it's very Marvel series of fighting game, the Marvel versus Capcom series of fighting, like has a similar style. I dig it, and I can't wait for more. I can't wait to see the characters they come out with, and I can't wait to see, you know, all the improvements that they're making. It's nice to see a developer realize, hey, there's issues at launch, we're right. gonna fix them, and actually do that, because it's rare in this day and age.
Oh yeah, for sure. Next up, speaking of another Power Rangers game, Legacy Wars added Ranger Operator Series Green, Ziggy Grover, from RPM to the game. I don't know if you guys saw the video for that, but it is pretty hilarious. They really capture his personality in the move set. At one point, there's a move that he swings his axe, and then it bangs on his knee, so he's jumping up and down, holding his kneecap. I think they really did their homework with this one, and he looks really good in the game.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it's nice to see them continuing to update the game, and even with all the stuff going on for Battle of the Grid, it's really nice that they haven't given up on Legacy Wars. I know the characters are maybe coming out a little bit more slowly, but that's understandable. I'd rather have them focus on Battle of the Grid, because that's like the Power Rangers console fighting game that we've all wanted, or we've all talked about and wanted for a long time. So, yeah, I mean, if they can polish that a bit more and add a friend lobby where, you know, I can fight against my friends who have Switch or Xbox. Sorry, Zach.
You schmuck.
I only have an Xbox One, so there you go. And I really don't think there's any other breaking news or anything other than the fact that we are now on hiatus for Power Rangers Beast Morphers.
Mm-hmm.
which is funny because that'll kind of tie into an announcement a little bit later towards the end of the show. But one last thing I want to address, which is actually related to episode 8, which we'll talk about in a bit. Depending on when you listen to this, about a week ago, Abraham Rodriguez was announced that he is going to, or he is the Gold Ranger. And we were able to get delayed press release from Hasbro. We threw that up onto our site. Gorgeous high-res images. Definitely download that. Really great shot of Abraham as Nate in the gold suit helmetless. It's a really fantastic shot, and I'm really glad that he's a Ranger. I think episode 8 was a lot of fun, which we'll talk about. But it seems like not everyone was happy with this casting decision, and most notably that was Blake Foster, who played Justin, the Blue Turbo Ranger and Power Rangers Turbo, who was a kid. He played a kid ranger. Come to find out, apparently back in September, I guess he was campaigning hard on his Instagram to essentially, hey, let Saban Hasbro know that I want to come back for the Gold Ranger. What I'm about to tell everyone, and I think it's important for our listeners to know, maybe you're not on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and I just want to bring it to light, maybe discuss this with you guys for a little bit. I think it's important when these types of things happen in the Ranger community, because it really lets you know people's maybe true intentions or what they really think about some things. And I'm just letting people know they can make their own judgments. I'm just going to present the facts from what we've seen. I'm not going to really go into any speculation or anything, because frankly, I'm not into the mind of Blake Foster. I'm only seeing what he puts out into the universe. So it all started, and like 90% of this was on his Instagram stories feed, which, if anyone's on Instagram, those stories go away after 24 hours. So obviously, I don't think he meant for this to get the attention that it did for him, whether good or bad. But it started off where he's saying the new Gold Ranger looks like a weenie, sad face, crying, laughing face, thumbs down face. Wrong choice, in my opinion. Sorry, not sorry. Hashtag. PR production team really dropped the ball on that one. Don't get me wrong, I'm not hating. I'm just stating facts. When I grew up on Power Rangers, the Gold Ranger to me is like the Green Ranger or the White Ranger, someone that's supposed to stand out amongst all the regular Ranger colors. That kid does not stand out at all. He's a L7 weenie, LOL, and crying laughing emotion face. Squints for gold. I mean, what were they thinking? LOL, hashtag Sandlot. So that happened. And then, obviously, people were upset. People weren't very happy. Most notably, the Beast Morphers cast themselves. Most notably, I think Colby Strong, who plays Blaze on the show, as well as Christina Ho, they put out their own messages to Blake Foster on Twitter, kind of calling him out on it, which I thought was great. There was a lot of Ranger fans that were, and people were going into this guy's DMs and messaging him. I don't know if I condone that or not. Some of them did take it a little bit too far, but people were rightfully angry. I think what is supposed to be a celebration of someone new into the Ranger family was tarnished. And all of this was said before the episode even premiered, which was just really bad in my opinion. So he took it upon himself to go and start quote unquote blasting haters, which he also posted screenshots of people's reactions. I don't think that was a very good thing to do. Also on his story, it was like, come on my page and talk smack, get blocked, ha ha ha. It's sad we live in a day and age where you can't critique or give your honest and possibly unpopular opinion on anything anymore. If you're not in unwavering support of whatever's popular, people want to crucify you and label you a hater. It's not about that. It's about the fact that he went out of his way to, not based on any looks of the character. Well, I mean, it was 100% based on the looks of the character, but 0% on his performance and character arc, which we'll talk about, which was built up into the show.
It was all about his looks.
It was 100% about his looks. He looks like a weenie.
And it's not even necessarily like the word weenie. That's not a terrible word. It's just everything surrounding it.
Right.
You know, just the context and everything else he continued to do.
It was just this really super gross bro, ultra masculinity, right. Like Rangers are supposed to be like dude bros, not like weenie nerds. It's like, no, go back to the kids table. You don't have a place in this conversation.
Yeah.
He continued to go on, they'll make anybody a Ranger these days, and it's the emoji with the hand face palm, just like some karate studios give away black belts. And someone posted a screenshot of what Blake said to them. Someone said to Blake, messaged Blake, commented on one of his stories and said, did you see yourself on Turbo, bro? And he's like, yes, bro, I know I was lame also, ha ha. Having a kid was just as gay as that kid in the gold. And that's where it crossed the line, at least for me.
That's where it stepped over the line with like no point of return.
Right.
It kind of crossed the line to begin with because he kept everything. He just kept doubling down on it. And then it just got like, and then he just dug himself like the deepest hole ever at that point.
Right. Also from his story on Friday, how about back in the day when a black belt had to be earned? Well, same with Rangers. Back in the day, you actually had to do martial arts. Clearly not these days, LOL. Okay, the Beast Morphers cast trained with Mike Chat, one of the top martial artists in the world. So for Blake to say that is just factually wrong. Yeah, and so he was posting on his story. He was highlighting the haters. He's in said, I think everyone needs to quit being so soft and sensitive, or at the very least, just agree to disagree. If you don't feel the same way, but I'm sorry. Like I said, when JDF, the Green Ranger, showed up, and even Austin St. John, the Gold Ranger, and Zio, they were special Rangers. So the character underneath had to be bad. No shade to A-Rod. I actually enjoyed his character. Did you even watch it? Because Nate is a bad on the show. He created the Power Ranger powers and tapped into the morphing grid when he was 10 years old. The dude's a child genius.
Yeah.
And if anything, I thought Justin from Turbo was supposed to be this little mini genius too. So I just find it quite ironic when Blake Foster played this kid Ranger, smack talking someone who is playing a kid Ranger. That's not cool. Like, where do you even get off doing that? You're right, Zach. It's like the hyper masculinity, like, oh, everyone needs to be stop being so soft and sensitive. And saw a lot of that from his supporters on Instagram. He posted one person's picture that was like, haha, he has one post and four friends. Like, okay, are you trying to flex? Like, what's going on here? And then there's another post he posted was like, to the real haters, you want to talk career? Go check my IMDb. I was in more projects than most Rangers all before I hit puberty. I quit Hollywood when I was 18. It didn't quit me. I rep my Ranger role with pride, but I do this for fun and to meet, connect with my fans. Don't get it twisted. This is not my career or source of income. Which then he posted a video flashing, oh, well, who can make 15K in a Saturday? And he was posting a huge wad of cash.
So was he insinuating that he made $15,000 in one day?
Yes, in cash.
Is that legal?
I don't know. I don't know how he made that money or what, but that's kind of odd. And that's a really weird flex.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Power Rangers and conventions aren't your career, then why even say those things to begin with?
Why campaign to be a Ranger again?
Right.
If you're making so much money doing other things.
Yeah. Clearly you have your own source of income that's working for you. So great. Do that. I mean, hell, Lost Galaxy Red.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
He's an attorney making like pretty good money. So
he didn't need to come back to the show.
No.
He looked exactly the same as he did like 15 years ago, but whatever. Someone dug up those Instagram stories he did from September that was like, I need that Beast Morpher gold spot. Go tag him. And then there was one post that was like a poll, a picture of himself and the Gold Ranger. And this was like from September, keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Mm. Who thinks this should happen? Hell yeah, or A, hashtag bring Justin back. So is this just because you saw who was cast and were like, ugh? Or, I mean, was it a jealousy thing? Because that's what's really coming off like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he eventually did post an apology, which, here's the thing. He posted the apology to his actual Instagram feed, which means that's there forever. All the things he said is now gone from his feed, but all of the fandom, like, I mean, it's out there now. Like,
yeah,
people have shared the video. It's out there. Nothing on the internet goes away.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I'll read his apology. To Abraham, the Beast Morphers cast, the rest of the fandom. When I initially made the L7 weenie remark, it was not intended to be put down or belittle anyone. My son saw the promo photo reveal, said that, and I thought it was comical that, one, he knew the Sandlot reference, and two, that your character, Nate, actually did resemble Squints. I thought it was harmless, but I see in a larger scale how your character, like mine, represents the idea that anyone can be a ranger. So right away, he's deflecting to his son.
Yeah.
Okay, you could have thought like that was funny in the privacy of your own home. You didn't need to post it.
Mm.
Martial arts is what drew me to Power Rangers as a fan, as well as landed me the role. So anytime I see an awesome new special ranger come in, I always hold it to the hard-to-meet standard of JDF and ASJ that I grew up on. However, it isn't 1993 anymore, and while everyone's opinion is different, I probably should have not made mine public. But I generally did not mean to put down Abe or anyone who relates to his character. In addition, at the time, I truly did not think there was any malice in using the term gay to describe my opinion. Ignorant on my part. As a 90s kid, I grew up with that lingo, but recognize that should have no place in 2019 in our progressive culture. What the screenshots do not show is just before that, me referring to my own character as gay. But the screenshots did show that. And while, again, it's not okay, I just want to emphasize I certainly had no malice behind it. However, talking to one of my best friends, he explained how destructive that phrasing is, and how we have to be better as a culture. I agree and regret using that word in context. As well, I owe an apology to the entire LGBT community. First off, after this apology, he doubled down on those comments and were liking comments in that thread of his post about people saying, oh, well, everyone's just so soft. And, you know, all those SJWs and all that stuff. So not only was he liking that and commenting it after this thing, at a later point, he went to Twitter and he called John from Israel a fairy. So clearly didn't learn anything, at least not in the moment. So guess what? I'm a 90s kid, too. I'm like, I think 2 years older than Blake Foster, 2 or 3 years old or whatever. Dude, I grew up in the 90s too. I know it's not, you can't use gay as a pejorative. You can't.
No.
You can't describe a situation as gay. That just kind of goes out of my lexicon. Just like you're not supposed to use the R word to describe a mentally disabled person. I'm not even going to say it because you can't say, oh, well, something is blank, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't say that. And yes, it is a progressive culture, but it's like, come on, we have to grow and at least have some basic decency for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And while it may have been a joking, like, haha, he's a weenie, whatever, it would have been one thing if it ended there, he apologized, that was it. But the doubling down and liking comments and just feeding into the, oh, just forget the haters, you don't need them. Well, maybe this became such a huge issue for everyone or a lot of people was because something offensive was said. And if there's such a strong reaction where the next day you have to make like a written out apology. I don't even know if he wrote this. It could have been press made up or whatever. I don't know. But when you have to double down and then do an apology, but after the apology, it just keeps going. It's not a very good look. This is the final part. These apologies by no means are because I have to. However, I'm a parent and have been committed to being the best version of myself. So I want to apply that to all aspects of my life.
That line, I don't have to apologize. No, bullshit. Yes, you do have to apologize because you were acting like a total and complete head.
Yep.
The thing that really got me was like one of the videos that's floating out there from his Instagram feed. He's like, I'm not a bully. This wasn't meant to be a bully. He's like, I'm getting so much heat for this comment. I'm not a bully, but I could be. And he proceeded to be when he's like, oh, I'm putting these haters on blast.
It's so juvenile. I think I made the gag on Twitter where I was like, good to see an actor who is so committed to his fan base that he continues to act like a 12-year-old.
Right.
And it's just like, he doesn't deserve the attention he's getting from this.
Let me just finish this last line. He said, it would have been crushing if one of the OGs had publicly made remarks about me like that when I first got my moment as a Ranger. So I regret doing that to Abe. Hope the love the rest of Ranger Nation poured on you lets you know how awesome this franchise really is. Enjoy the ride. Stay golden. Yeah, you know how bad that is. Abraham Rodriguez at the time was probably really young when your Ranger came out, if not born yet. And I'm sure, you know, he might have seen all of the originals. And probably, I can't speak for Abraham Rodriguez, but I didn't have the most positive reaction when Justin was on the show. But for any kid watching that today that's probably younger than Justin is portrayed in the show, think about that. Like, a kid watching that today sees that this 12-year-old kid can become a Ranger. How inspiring is that?
Mm-hmm.
How awesome is that to show that, wow, I know this is fiction. Maybe the kids have a great imagination. The fact that maybe that at some point in their lives that they could be a Power Ranger too, that's really powerful. And I didn't like Justin because when the show came out and I was a couple years older than Blake Foster, I know I was jealous when I was like, you know, 12 or 13 watching this kid be a Ranger. Like, what the hell? Like, why does this little kid get to be a Ranger? And that's the thing. Didn't have the internet back then. Didn't know that he knew martial arts or was so famous at the time. So I know that there are some people like me who grew up watching Turbo thinking, why this kid?
Mm-hmm.
But now, grown up, I can see the perspective of a kid watching Power Rangers today getting so much inspiration from his character. That's why this whole mess, at least for me, was a complete disaster. Because I get it. For some people, it's just a TV show. For a lot of these actors, it was just a job. But the ideals that you're representing by portraying a Ranger on the show, at least show them to the fan base. And there never would have been an issue if he was like, oh man, hey, I was trying to get my fans to petition me to become the Gold Ranger, but wow, there's this young kid, he's the Gold Ranger now. That takes me back to when I was a Power Ranger. Oh man, I wish him all the luck. If he had just said that, we wouldn't even be here wasting 20 minutes on this topic. I'm not trying to put him on blast. It's just like, look, sure, you made the apology. And a lot of people are like, oh, he apologized. Just forget about it. No, because it's like almost immediately he went back on that by his actions.
It was clear the apology was just to like save face
completely
with some people, and then to hell with that. Because he just, like you said, he just went back on it.
You can find that post on his Instagram. You can read the comments and the reactions yourself. You can see who likes what comments on the app. Do a little bit of the homework for yourself and see if you want to continue supporting him or not. I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Any additional thoughts that you guys have?
In a weird way, I feel almost not sorry for him, but clearly he has this idea of like toxic masculinity and he's like all about that life. And it's clearly affected him based on this whole situation and some past situations that I won't quite mention right now. But like, if someone wants to know what I'm talking about, like reach out to me.
Sure.
I will let you know.
But there's a history here.
Yeah, like there's a history of him being toxically masculine. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fact that he's masculine. It's just, it's the toxicity of it all.
Right.
Not saying you can't be masculine. It's just like, that's not the only qualifier in life. Right.
There's a difference between masculinity and toxic masculinity.
Yes.
And he has veered hard into toxic.
Yes. Another former Ranger, I can't remember exactly who it was, but said something like...
Cameron Gibo?
I don't remember if it was him or if it was Matt Austin. Matt Austin. Mm-hmm. But said something like he was probably upset by the Gillette commercial. And wow. Like someone said that Blake Foster was probably upset by the Gillette commercial. And honestly, like that just like hit the nail on the head. That's basically it. I almost feel sorry for the guy because he clearly has some like issues with toxic masculinity and everything. And it's like a shame that he can't be more open-minded. Being closed-minded is like no way to live your life. This whole thing never needed to happen. It's dumb, and I in no way support this, basically. It's horrible that someone has to be so negative and try to tear someone else down based on how they look.
The episode hadn't even premiered yet, and mm-hmm. It would have been different if it was like, hey, the episode premiered, I didn't like it. Cool. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like the new show, but... there was like one other video where he was like, oh, but, you know, the production and the fans, they make all these mistakes. And it's like, what, a mistake because they didn't hire you to be in the show? Because The producers want their own vision that's not based on nostalgia? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come back to the show, then pitch it to Hasbro or audition yourself. But clearly, that's not what the producers had in mind. They had their own direction for their own character arc. And So far, Nate's is one of the strongest character arcs in the show.
He's one of the like greatest parts of it.
For real. And I do admit that when I first saw the cast and saw all of them on Instagram, sure, he did some things that annoy me. It was just like, bleh, and like... You know, all this stuff that these younger kids do that, I mean, just annoy me from a, okay, not everything is sticking your tongue out or whatever and going, bleh. But I mean, that's just me. But as soon as I saw Abraham like on the show and acting, oh my God, it's so great. Like the acting for his character, the sadness that the talk that he had with Zoe, Nate and Zoe had that one-on-one in the third episode. Mm-hmm. He opened up about his family, which, I mean, for Power Rangers the last 8 years, like, man, that's like a total turn around in the dramatics. And what could have been like a really hokey moment actually came across as genuine, and you could feel the sadness, which led up to such a great buildup, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So my only take on this is, I know the easy way sometimes is to just make a controversial comment because that's going to get you the most like likes and hits and whatever, and you know, people deflect and say that the culture is soft and, oh, you can't say anything offensive anymore. How about just start at the basic principle of what Power Rangers is about inclusion and diversity and just being a good person and saving the environment and not being a jerk.
Or just like treat others how you would want to be treated. It's really not that hard.
It's some of the oldest advice in the book. How about we just stop putting the negative energy out into the universe and just try showing some compassion or at least some empathy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are so quick to defend these actors or these people, like the whole Kevin Spacey thing. So many people are so quick to defend these actors, and for what? They don't owe you anything. Why are you defending people?
Mm-hmm.
You defend like a really bad comment because what, someday you think you're going to get a pat on the back from them? I don't understand the mentality. Disconnect yourself from the mob mentality and take a stand. These actors owe you nothing.
And it's not even like you're defending them for like a mistake that they made. Like, I understand that. If like they made a genuine mistake, and like maybe it was taken out of context and people are overreact, I don't know.
Right.
But if it's part of like a clear pattern of behavior and you're just ignoring that, and the person also doesn't apologize really for it,
mm-hmm.
like if it's like a fake apology and they're only doing it to like make themselves look good, like they're not actually apologizing, like how can you defend that?
Oh, wow. I just saw Matt Austin's thing. I have no idea how I missed this. He said, the reason I love Peter Parker so much is because he didn't look like Flash Thompson. Either did I. I was clever and quick and dependable. Always picked in gym, but second to last to the strongest and taller, more athletic. The eternal man boy. I almost turned down my audition for Power Rangers. Why should I even go? When cast, I always felt like a substitute player next to Chris and Brandon. When I was announced as Bridge, some fans didn't even think I fit the mold either. And that's exactly why I was cast, to fight against an image of who a hero can be slash what they look like. I'm sorry for what Blake said and continued to say. Heroes, super or everyday, are only defined by their heart and their actions to do what's right. I'm assuming he was offended by the Gillette ad as much as you are by his words. Gold rocks green out. So, yeah.
He basically put it like perfectly.
Yeah. Any other final things we want to say before we never talk about it again?
I hope one day he'll learn, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I have it written down. I'm going to say it from words so that
go ahead.
Say what I wrote so that I'm not, don't mess it up. And this might be making like a passing judgment on him or whatever, but I don't care at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say what I wrote on Twitter in case some people don't follow me on there. Past behavior, this incident, and his lack of remorse, even after the apology, prove to me that he's really not going to change. And if he does, it's likely just to save face and not because he recognizes he was wrong and wants to better himself.
He essentially admitted that
yeah.
after the apology. He did. So,
I mean, like, that's about it. He clearly doesn't recognize he was wrong and he doesn't want to better himself. And I'm just, I have no patience for people who want to be negative and pass judgment on others without getting to know them. So,
well said. Zach, any final word?
I hope he will one day learn, but I am not really counting on it because he seems so entrenched in this idea of being
what a man
so
is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, dude, that kind of thinking went out in a long time ago.
Yeah.
So whatever, it is what it is, unfortunately, and I hope that he can overcome it, but like I said, not hold my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And disclaimer, we'll probably never interview him, so it's fine.
Nope.
Nope. And I wouldn't want to either.
No, neither would I.
Like, do I want to? No.
No. All right. So, moving on to what really should be the focus of the episode is the episode 7 and 8, which is the final episodes that we're going to get for a few months as we go into hiatus. So, one of our earlier episodes, we talked about not only episode 1, our live reaction during the premiere, but also our other episode where we reviewed episodes 2 through 6. And really, all of that was the buildup to what happened in these two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, episode 7, A Friend Indeed, Evox targets the Beast Bots to stop the Rangers from forming their Megazord. A Friend Indeed features the debut of the Gigatronics, which are the kind of Megazord-sized grunt robots. This aired on April 20th and was written by Judd Lynn. Just, this was a Judd Lynn episode, directed by Oliver Driver. There was only one error, and if you go to the Ranger Wiki page for this, they screenshot it. But during Zoe's unfight morph against the Tronics, one of the Tronics headpieces
unmorphed fight.
What'd I say?
You said unfight
morph.
I'm just saving you, Eric.
No, I appreciate that. Please call out whenever I mess up that badly, because I messed up badly in the last episode I edited and was like, why didn't they tell me?
I don't want to be that jerk.
Please.
It's like, hey, you said it wrong.
No.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I probably should be that jerk.
Yeah. No.
For the sake of my editing and how this podcast sounds, please be the best jerk that you can be when it comes to that. because you're not being a jerk. You're helping me in editing and making this show sound better. If I slip up on words, I need you to tell me.
Okay.
Please, just for my sanity and for our listeners. Unfight right. Morph. What am I even on right now? All right. During Zoe's unmorphed fight against the Tronics, one of the Tronics headpieces flies up, briefly revealing the human stunt actor underneath. And let me actually link this in our Skype chat.
I gotta see this because I must have missed it.
Yeah.
It's so brief and you miss it, but when you see a screenshot, you're like, why? Why did they use that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just straight up the helmet coming off the suit.
Oh.
Right? Like, I know it's blink and you miss it because obviously I missed it during my first watch of it. But,
yeah,
I mean, come on. Like that's bad. What were your guys' thoughts on this episode?
I liked it.
Yeah, it was good to see the Beastbots get some love.
I really felt bad for them.
Yeah.
Especially when...
Jax.
Oh, Jax. Jax broke my heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but it's right here. Like I told you, just put your jacket over it. And it was just such this defeated... Oh my God. It was just so well done. Props to the actor who voices Jax. And props to the literal props team who are puppeteering Jax. Because whenever he does like that sad eyes, his eyes are gauges, and whenever they go down like that, I mean, there's, it's so emotional. It's just like, oh man. I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought also Devin and Ravi were acting like complete jerks.
Oh yeah.
But I understand the situation. Sure, they're not doing everything exactly what you want them to do, but their personalities really make up the Beastbots. And I am glad that we did get a focus with them, but I think they turned a little too quickly on them. So that's why when, you know, at the end, they're throwing the party for the Beastbots, they're like, oh, you're our best friends. And it's like, are they though? like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. It felt like they were kind of jerks and they kind of turned on the Beastbots a little too easily for making like just dumb kind of mistakes.
Well, what they perceived as mistakes, because we find out that they were just doing it to throw this party, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. But even then, it's just like, I felt like they got a little too angry at them, especially when, like, I assume up until that point, they had been like good pals, you know?
Good buddies.
Yeah.
GB, good buddies. Yeah. So it's like, I wish we would have just seen a little bit more, maybe them bumbling around, because when Cruz was first introduced, Nate did say that, oh, he's pretty forgetful, but we didn't have a chance to see that again. Mm-hmm. Like they've been doing such a great job of building everything else up. I just wish that the Beastbots like messed up maybe just slightly a little more before this episode. So there was like a history of messing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, I mean, it seemed like they were ready to turn on them for what could have been just like a bad day for them. You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it was just a little too much of like a snap decision
to completely dismiss them. When the past couple episodes, Commander Shaw even sent Jax and Smash without the Rangers to assist Devin in Zord form.
Yeah.
So she was able to put enough trust in them for them to go out on their own.
Yeah.
So I think that was my only problem with this episode, was just the lack of buildup for at least this story point. Because like I said, they've been doing a pretty good job of seeding everything else, especially the Gold Ranger, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they did a really good job of writing the emotions. So I really liked how the scenes were acted out, especially with Jacqueline Sozlowski.
I liked Jax a lot, though. Jax the Beastbot was like the star of this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel weird saying that, but like he was. Jax the Beastbot was the star of the episode.
Completely agree with you 100%.
That part where he was kind of like acting as a decoy and was like, like here I am.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, Jax, you're going to get hurt.
I just love that whole idea about him coming up with a plan. That was his plan, too. I really enjoyed their personalities, and it really went to show that without their personalities, they literally are just command me robots. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that Devin and Ravi kind of got what was coming to them. Especially the when Ravi got punched and flew across the room.
Yeah, that was great.
He literally said, hey, don't wait for me to be ready. Just go on. And he literally did what he said he was going to do. So, yeah, I'm glad that while there wasn't a lot of buildup, while they turned pretty quickly against them, I'm glad that they also realized their mistake just as fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to chalk it up. It was just an off day for the Rangers in the moral department.
Yeah.
But I thought the plan was good, at least from the villain side. I'm glad it's not just all, hey, let's just steal more and more facts.
Yeah. I did enjoy, like, it is good to have competent villains who actually come up with plans like this.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I really prefer seasons with at least human-acted villains. And we've had some stinkers in the past acting-wise, but I really think Colby Strong and Leanna Ramirez really bring it as Blaze and Roxy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're so enjoyable.
Yeah. And that's what's so fun about this season is not only are you really invested in the Rangers and what they're doing, but on some level, you're kind of rooting for the villains in a way. Like, they're so bad, but I like them.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
I think Scrozzle is hilarious.
Yes, Scrozzle's pretty great.
And that was what led up to the next episode, episode 8. So towards the end of this episode, they've got all the Tronics are moving around and teleporting the junk to some kind of weird hangar. Blaze and Roxy have no idea what's going on. And Scrozzle says, hey, this is my secret plan. I'm going to build a cyber gate. And we're like, what? Which leads right into, the voice actor for Jax is Emmett Skilton. So, Emmett, you're doing a great job. He also voiced Professor Strickler in Power Rangers Dino Supercharge and Dread Wolf and Stabberos in Super Ninja Steel. Well, I didn't watch Super Ninja Steel, but I remember that chalkboard monster being pretty hilarious. So, you're doing a great job as Jax.
Yes.
I want to give a shout out to him. Moving right into the Cybergate opens, which is our pre-hiatus episode. The Cybergate opens. Scrozzle executes his plan to finally free Evox from the cyber dimension, and the Rangers, along with an unexpected friend, must do everything in their power to stop him. The Cybergate opens features the debut of Nate as Beast Morpher's Gold and Steel as Beast Morpher's Silver. This aired on April 27th, written by Becca Barnes and Alan Dale, and was directed by Rick Pelizzeri. I loved this episode.
It was fantastic.
It was really, like, really
genuinely
good.
Fantastic.
What I loved about it is it was kind of like the conclusion to a lot of the plot line threads that they started from episode one up to this point.
Yeah.
If you look at the attention to detail, like on the Cybergate itself, it has that sequencer thing that Roxy stole in the Valentine's Day episode. Mm-hmm. The one that was going to transform Ravi into an evil thing.
Yeah.
The thing that he stole for her.
The genetic resequencer, I think it was called.
There you go. So the genetic resequencer was part of this Cybergate, which was awesome. It's those attention to details where, okay, we know Scrozzle stole a lot of tech from the hangar, including, we find out now, which was Steel's head, which was what Nate was working on the whole time. I thought that was just great attention to detail just in the props. Like, they've set up this arc where, obviously, Skrozzle, in other episodes, he kept telling Evox, well, wait until this plan. It's going to be great. And finally, we see it happen. I really like the action in this episode. When they captured Nate, because he was going out looking for more DNA and got a mantis and a beetle, but Zach, you want to explain why that's so funny?
It's so funny. So obviously both silver and gold are based on types of beetles.
In the Sentai, yes.
In the Sentai, they're based on a stag beetle and a Hercules beetle, I believe. So for gold to come out and be like, I'm a mantis, everyone went, what? Wait, what? Literally all of your aesthetic is a beetle. Your Zork is a beetle. Your suit is a beetle. How is this a mantis, Hasbro? So that, I think, was the first, like, oopsie we've had so far.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, it's fine. It's whatever. I mean, they had to do that for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know.
But it's so funny to just watch people's reaction when he's like, yeah, I need mantis DNA. And everyone went, wait, really?
What? And I've seen some memes, like the Steel character going, like that meme where it's like, this is a mantis?
Oh, yeah. Is this a mantis? And it's the, yeah, it's, I love the resurgence of that meme.
Yeah. Specifically just for this flub up.
Yeah.
But at some point they leave Nate alone in the woods during an attack, and Blaze and Roxy are able to capture him and force him to essentially build what they want to become Evox's new body for when the Cybergate opens. And earlier in the episode, the whole reason they went out to get this DNA was because Nate developed these new weapons. And so we've seen the Striker Morpher on display, as well as, I don't know what they're going to call the swords yet, but we saw this new weaponry. So at first I didn't know if, you know, maybe, because we knew Nate wanted to get the DNA anyway. So I didn't know if all along he wanted to be a Ranger, or if part of this was just the happenstance of the situation which played out in the episode. Because clearly he was making these weapons and equipment for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was something that was directed by Commander Shaw or not.
Yeah.
Because in this whole thread, he's been talking about, oh, I wish I had a brother. And then, you know, Shaw's like, hey, you can't go on off the base without a buddy. And so, I mean, he built the head for it. And in this episode, he built the rest of it.
Yeah, like he clearly had some kind of plan the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Which is why he's such a great character. He plays the long game. But yeah, even when he was captured, his wrist device was broken. And while he was able to build the body, he also fixed his watch, so he was able to transport one of the Striker Morphers. And I think it was kind of bad that Hasbro, this was the preview clip, because if we didn't know this moment, how amazing would that have been not seeing it before? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get it. They wanted to hype up the Gold Ranger, and it was on all the news sites that are covering Power Rangers, you know, a couple days before. So I know they wanted to hype up this episode, but maybe just tease the Gold Ranger, not like, hey, this is how Nate becomes the Gold Ranger. Like, I wish they really revealed that or saved that reveal for the actual episode itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they could have had the preview clip just be when Gold and Silver appear to help the other Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, then maybe save the interview for the first week of the hiatus, you know, after everyone's had a chance to see it. Like, wow, hey, you liked Nate as Gold? Well, hey, we just interviewed him.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I thought that was a little off, but I can understand it in today's day and age for promotion and all that stuff. But the moment itself in the context of the episode is even greater when you realize he totally played the villains. Even Blaze say he played us. I just thought that was fantastic. And through this whole experience, some of the DNA, because they were in like the same vortex, the robot and him, I guess Steel got some of Nate's DNA, which probably gave him a little bit of his personality. And that's why he's able to morph into
a ranger. Yeah,
I just thought it was so great that they were kind of discovering each other's powers together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I love the line where he's like, where Steel was like, maybe now's not the time for introductions. All of Steel's lines were perfect.
Steel's a great character already, and I can't wait to see more of him after we come back from the hiatus.
Yeah. Yes, me too. It's like genuinely hilarious sometimes.
I loved all of his one-liners. I'm so glad, and someone else mentioned this, that they used the Sentai footage where, you know, Gold moves Silver's head out of the way to fire his blaster.
Yeah.
And it's a different context in Go Busters because Beat J Stag is so overconfident. And here, Silver or Steel is confident, but at the same time, Nate is not playing it the same as the Sentai. It's, hey, it's more of like, hey, you're my brother, but knock off the attitude versus, hey, don't steal my thunder kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think it's more of like, hey, I know you're excited, but you're also right in the way.
Yeah, literally in the way. To note, the voice of Steel is Jamie Lenahan, who voiced the dub version of Ryoga Haku in the Dino Thunder episode Lost and Found in Translation.
Hmm.
So he did the dub voice of the Red Ranger of the Sentai that they were watching. He was also Tangleweb in Power Rangers Ninja Steel, and he also voiced Game Goblin, Wolvermane, and the main villain Brax in Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel.
Huh.
And now he gets to voice Steel, who's incredibly cocky and sure of himself.
That's cool.
So I like it. I think it was hilarious. So good. Yeah. Really good casting there.
I just like the part where he was like, and how are we going to do this with flair?
Yeah.
And then Burgundy Ranger posted a Ric Flair gif. Woo! And I responded back to him, was like, I totally get that reference. At least I know enough about wrestling to know who Ric Flair is, you know? And when he said it, we're going to do it with Flair. When I was watching the episode, I instantly thought of Ric Flair. So intentional or not on the writers, but we all know how much Power Ranger fans are also WWE fans. So little thing or not, I think a lot of us noticed that. So that was pretty hilarious. And the fight was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of want to go back a bit and mention how you talked about this kind of kept going with multiple, you know, plot points that hadn't been built up over time. The mm-hmm. whole thing about how back a few episodes there was that directive where Shaw was like, okay, from now on, Nate, you can't go alone outside.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you're too valuable an asset. And so to see that return with this episode was a nice callback as well. And to see the Rangers kind of fail in that duty was also mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because they all left him alone, and it gave the villains an opportunity to take advantage of the situation, which they've done a couple more times this season. So I think it really shows that the Rangers are still learning,
mm-hmm.
especially because two of them did not train for this.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes this feel a little bit more realistic. They're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And while the outcome ended up being in their favor anyway, I still hope that they learn from those types of lessons.
Yeah.
We get the awesome fight. Obviously, they're going to be saving the Zords for when we come back, which is great because by then, all of the Megazord toys should be out in the fall wave. Mm-hmm. And I'll definitely be buying those.
And hopefully the Gold Ranger figure is out by then too.
Oh my God. Yeah. The second wave of figures. I'm here for it. I'm here for the Roxy figure for gold and silver. That's going to be so great. And obviously the Evox figure that they got that was shown off at Toy Fair. I'm really interested because that means that Scrozzle doesn't give up this idea of freeing Evox and building a body. And I like that Evox hinted at that they want to go after the Silver Ranger. They want to make that Evox's body.
Mm-hmm.
Despite their failure, they still want to take that over. And I think that's going to lead to some interesting plot twists, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And really creepy buildup with Evox slithering out of the cyber dimension through this gate.
That was a really cool shot.
Yeah.
Like, that shot was fantastic.
And I like that he was slowly getting pulled back in when they stopped him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sure, it was like a reverse of that, but the way that he was slithering and they were, you know, panning across like that, I just saw it. Really well done by the effects team and a great job by the director, because I think that was legitimately creepy. And here's another interesting question. Because the robot was partially infected by the Evox virus, are Gold and Silver going to have weaknesses like red, blue, and yellow?
Mm.
That's the only way that they got their powers was because Evox temporarily infected those powers. And we saw the same thing happen here.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And like I said, unfortunately, we won't have answers until until fall. So
that's a good point, though. I never even considered that.
Yeah, and it was the only reason I brought it up was because, like, literally, he was partially infected. And they made such a point of that when they introduced the weaknesses, mm-hmm. that Nate figured out that their weaknesses were because of the Evox virus. Hmm. Now, I don't know, in the Sentai, Zach, maybe you'll tell me, but did Gold and Silver have any weaknesses like red, blue, and yellow? Or did they glitch out or do anything weird?
I didn't watch enough of GoBusters. I only watched like the first 10 episodes.
Mm,
okay. As far as I can remember, I think there was some issue because Gold was like a projection of somebody who was trapped in the cyber dimension.
Oh, okay.
I want to say, I think there was like, oh, why can't so-and-so come? Oh, because shenanigans.
Oh, okay.
Again, this is me going off of 10 episodes of a series I watched 8 years ago.
But hey, if any of our listeners watched all of GoBusters, just hit us up with...
Tell us how we're wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. You can definitely add us on that one, for sure.
Command PH / you're wrong. Actually, we
don't. No.
Wait, wasn't in this episode Cosmo Flores? Wasn't he the voice of the monster, too?
Yeah, Vacutron.
You're right. Yes.
I loved that. It was a good monster voice.
It was good enough where I couldn't tell.
I didn't know either until, I didn't know until I saw it on Twitter.
And I just appreciate how in both of these episodes, going off the same note, I really appreciate how Ben and Betty continue to be relevant to the plot.
Yes.
And they're not just there for the yucks.
Although I do feel as though we should call out me for being too optimistic for my own good. When we had talked last episode about how Ben and Betty had some sort of green substance all over them, I had said something along the lines of like, well, maybe it's Morphex. I mean, it's not going to be a big cake like it would have been with Ninja Steel. And sure enough, it was actually Ben and Betty stuck inside a cake, so they had frosting on their faces for episode 7. So, yeah, shame on me for being a little too optimistic for my own good and jinxing it.
See, we can admit our faults and own up to them,
mm-hmm.
without any further shade. So, good job. So that was the Cybergate opens. I think it ended on a positive note with Nate finally getting the brother that he's always wanted, But I remember the line that Zoe said, which was, hey, having a sibling isn't as great as you think it is. And I'm wondering if that's going to come back to bite him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be. I think we've got some really good storytelling there of them forming a complete team, as well as, you know, maybe Steel isn't all cracked up to what Nate thinking he's going to be. So I think there's still a lot of growth for these characters. I think they did a really good job of setting up this storyline, and I hope we continue to see that get paid off throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, cool. I can't wait for the show to come back from hiatus so we can figure out where the characters are going to go from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the 8th episode. We still have 14 more to go this season.
Mm.
So that's like almost double what we got the first third. So I'm ready. Bring it on. I can't wait to see what potentially the season finale could be. I just think if they continue at the pace that they're going and they continue to lay down plot threads but also answer some, I think we're going to have a really solid season. And overall, I think the first 8 episodes are a really strong season so far.
Oh, yeah. I've said it before, but I think it's one of the best seasons, if not like my favorite so far. And it's not me being like optimistic. It's just like genuinely, this is based on what I've seen and what I know and everything. This is like the best, if not one of the best seasons in my eyes. So
it continues to amaze me because even in some of these interviews, and hey, Beast Morphers cast, if you happen to be listening, we're definitely open for any interviews that you guys want to do.
Absolutely.
I see you guys doing other interviews. Hey, we're here.
We are the premier Power Rangers podcast.
Well. Well.
Don't be well. We are.
No, have not to do that.
Pride in your work.
Sure.
We can provide the numbers. I don't.
We definitely have the receipts. So.
I was just going to say, as the kids would say, we have the receipts.
But anywho. Let's find out what Ranger Nation thought in our Ranger Nation Answers segment, where we asked, what do you want to see happen when Power Rangers Beast Morphers comes back from hiatus? On Twitter, Hasbro Rewa Era Scott at DigiRanger 1994 said, I want to see Blaze and Roxy laugh in Nate's face that his Mantis Zord looks nothing like a Mantis. Elsewhere, maybe exploring Steel's personhood, like Data from Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager's Doctor. But I'll get the feeling he'll be kept so within GB grounds, he won't be given the chance.
I think that's a little deep for a kid's show, but I enjoy those types of stories.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, if the production team and the writers want to go there with Steel's character, by all means, because that will be very much different from Gosei Knight. That's for sure.
Charlie hosts Ranger Chronicles at Orange Ranger 198 said, I know this probably sounds wrong, but I'm looking forward to Evox getting a physical form so he can be a more direct threat.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, we know the toys out there, so I think it's going to happen.
There you go.
I think that would be a great way to not only further the plot along, but kind of mix things up. Like, once Evox is out of the cyber realm or can bounce back and forth between the two, I think that's going to be a real turning point for this series.
Yeah. Adam, at Little Adam 87, said, I'd love to see if there were any events that led to the creation of Grid Battle Force. Also want to find out about Vargoyle, mentioned by Scrozzle in the first episode. Hope that we see the Enter suit, too. Also, take the time to improve the generic music, please.
Von Bamba at Mr. Cooper 92 said, I want to see more of the Nate/Steel dynamic, because after one episode, Steel is my favorite character. He's so arrogant, but lovable. He reminds me of BJ Stagg from Go Busters.
Shadow Ray 22 at underscore Shadow Ray 22 said, I want to see an episode where Nate figures out having a brother isn't all that it's cracked up to be. he seems to have this fairy tale idea of what it's like to have a brother.
Oh, for sure he does. And I am ready for that to crash hard.
Orange Ranger Videos at Orange Ranger Vid said, I'd imagine that Steel's personality will lead to that, an episode where the two clash, and then Nate realizes that it's all part of the experience.
At Sentai 5 wants to see Fury Mode in action. I'm a sucker for power-ups and battleizers.
Jesse Elias at Zeltrax Millennio said, Amen, I love the look of that armor. Maybe it's the prototype for powered custom?
At the A-Games 10 said, a full team morph and roll call with gold and silver. That would be awesome to see.
You know what? That's interesting. We have not had a roll call this season.
No. No, we had
to. No.
Did they have them in GoBusters?
I don't think they did.
Huh. I mean, it's like, I don't think the theme lends itself to a roll call.
Why am I like, I'm picturing in my head like.
Nope, they didn't do it. All they did morphs, but they didn't do like Beast Morphers red, Beast Morphers blue, Beast Morphers yellow, Power Rangers, Beast Morpher. They haven't done that.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
My mind is kind of blown right now. Like I seriously could remember, you know, Cheetah Power, Beast Morphers red. I guess not.
Well, now I'm questioning.
We're going to have to go back and watch, because I swear I remember like Cheetah Power, Beast Morphers Red, Gorilla Power, Beast Morphers Blue, and
I think that's in the Morpher.
Maybe?
Whether they did or didn't.
Again, if they, shout us out if we're wrong.
Yeah, but if they, well, I'm going to be rewatching Beast Morphers, but if they did do that, it wasn't a typical way that is typical in Power Rangers, which GoBusters wasn't typical for a Sentai.
Mm-hmm.
Strider Xanthos said,
You skipped over Orange Ranger Videos underneath A-Games 10.
Oh, wow. Orange Ranger Videos. See, there's a lot of orange going on. Actually, this is Orange Ranger Videos' second comment.
Yeah.
He said, the biggest lingering thread I'm waiting to see is if Evox can ever take control of Steel. I picture the Rangers having to fight the Silver Ranger with Evox inside, and that seems amazing.
Yes. At Strider Xanthos said, go Code Lyoko style and turn themselves into Data to fight Evox and Steel's body. # Ooh. Power Rangers RPM.
No, you don't have to. You have to read the hashtags. I just did a bad copy and paste.
Copy and paste. Thorn the Virus at Cyber Contagion said, honestly, I don't even need Evox to get his final robot form yet. Just get him out of the shed in the cyber dimension and let him contribute to the plot. Even if he's just slithering around in computers for a while, and some backstory, please.
Jumba Daniels said, I'd love to see Evox possess a physical villain form and finally escape his virus form. I'd also like to see an episode in which Evox, Blaze, and Roxy infiltrate the GB base and possibly kidnap Mayor Daniels or Commander Shaw.
Edward Sanchez at Edward is a Man said, I want to see Nate and Silver bond more with the rest of the team.
Eric T. at Spandex T. Rose said, more Shaw focus. There have been moments where I felt her perspective was important. She called out Devon that one time, but what about when Ravi stole and lost the neural aligner to Roxy? What does she think of her son's relationship with her?
Oh, that's a good point. Gerard 9186-6093. Please, people, when you sign up for Twitter, you can edit that handle. Get rid of those numbers and look less like a spam bot. He said, Evox getting a human host.
What if it looks like a spam bot because it's Evox?
Oh, God. What? The podcast has been infected. Oh, geez. Oh, where's my corrupted key?
Oh, Lord.
Okay, I'll stop.
Let's go!
Yeah!
Rangers, it's go time!
Oh, okay, geez. I'll stop. Let's go!
All right, AP.
Okay, Rider Club at Rider Club Main said, the Ultra Zord and more of Nate and Steel and Roxy.
Jerusalem Garcia Jordan at Lulubug Cosplay said, the Nate Steele sibling bonding, Nate Zoe ship stuff, Roxy Ravi, Evox managing to cause some real damage, Zord carnage anyone, foreshadowing of whatever power custom is going to be called, which I honestly hope they give to Nate. If he doesn't develop it, I will be upset.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I think for sure he's going to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be cool if they did an alternate version where he's testing it on his Ranger form.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Like, with all the original footage we've gotten, we can get, like,
oh god,
anything at this point.
It's so much original footage. It's almost ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like an embarrassment of riches over
Give
here.
Give us some more Sentai footage. Please don't.
Actually, I didn't do a shift, so she had more
comments. So... Ben and Betty continuing to help, maybe even Ranger up. As someone who grew up with divorced parents and raised primarily by mom, I have one big question. Parents' relationship statuses. It'd give some more depth to the characters.
Yeah, I want to know what's up with Nate's parents, essentially going to another country and giving their son to a government organization. What is that about?
That does seem kind of weird. Hey, here's this paramilitary force. You're going to go live with them for a while.
Because you're a genius. I hope they explore that more, for sure.
Yeah.
Michael Poole at Poolside98 said, honestly, I want to see how Nate and Steel get their Zords. The original three had theirs ready to go at the start, so it'll be interesting to see how Grid Battle Force would construct the new ones. Ooh.
Oh.
I hope we don't get a time skip. Like, I hope it's like... the next episode after we come back from the hiatus is like the next day. And it's like, okay, well, you guys are going to need Zords, and that's going to take a little while to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So, yeah, maybe they're part of more the ground force while their Zords are constructed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excel Hedge said, what I want, Megaforce versus Beast Morphers, but I know it's not going to happen.
I think something's going to happen. It may not be Megaforce, but...
there's got to be something in the works.
I mean, look...
I mean,
Brennan's still down there.
They're both
Yoshi's down there. Yeah. James Davies lives there. Doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take a Grid Battle Force scientist to figure out what's going on.
Over on Instagram, Buffaroo said, it's kind of a cop-out, but honestly, I just want to see it keep continuing with the level of quality that I've seen in the first few episodes. Not necessarily groundbreaking stuff, but a really solid, well-done season thus far. Also, gotta throw in, I'd really love to see more Survivor episodes from you guys. I'm sure it takes a lot of work and time, but it's totally worth it. Some of my favorite Ranger content, to be honest. Well, you're gonna maybe get some of that stuff soon.
I'll save that for the end of this episode.
Yeah, probably,
I'll just give a status update on what's going on for our listeners. Power Rangers India said, I hope we get to see Blaze and Roxy turn back to being good. They were my favorite characters too and really interest me. I also hope we get to see more of Commander Shaw-centered episode. She's honestly a hashtag boss lady. And I agree. More Commander Shaw. Just all the Commander Shaw ever.
Mm-hmm. John Green Bear Ranger said, I would like to see Ben and Betty have a more important and slightly more serious role. They are fun characters that I want to see get more spotlight.
I would agree with John because I want to see them also have a bigger arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like it to be like a Bulk and Skull thing, but more condensed, where... sure, they're working for this organization, they're bumbling around, but I would love to see them become more competent as the seasons progress.
Yeah, that would be really awesome to see, because it's not something we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Over on Facebook, Kevin Travers said, I want to see a three-parter adaptation of Juden Sentai Kyuryuger versus GoBusters, the Great Dinosaur Battle. Farewell, our eternal friends. Enough said. Gotta love those really long Super Sentai and Kamen Rider titles. Those are always a good laugh.
I don't know. There were some filming pics of Vivix on the set, so I don't know.
Mm.
It's out there. The truth is out there. Noah Bowden said, even higher stakes and possibly more continuity tie-ins.
Josh Truck Boat Truck Reed said more steel.
And I think we can all agree on that one.
Yes.
As long as it's not ninja steel.
All right. We actually have a question from Ranger Nation. You can ask us a question anytime at ask.fm/RangerCommandPH, as well as just hit us up on our social media on Twitter and Instagram, or we've got a contact us form on the site. Ask us anything you want, and it may be featured in a future episode of Ranger Command Power Hour. So, an anonymous person asked, should Hasbro's video game division put together a best of collection for Power Rangers video games? The Genesis and SNES games, especially the fighting games, and whatever good PR games from the non-MMPR eras. Well, let me be the bearer of bad news, because there are no good PR games.
Hey, come on now.
No, there. I mean, some of the...
Listen.
Like the Lightspeed Rescue one? Come on.
Re-release it.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie beat-em-up side-scroller was amazing, and I played that pretty much every day. I think a collection of, like, games of that scale would be amazing. However, yeah. I think it would be too much of a hassle to try and track down everybody who owns the rights to the different games.
And the music. And
yeah, like, yeah. I mean, it would be great, but I think it would take a lot of effort on Hasbro's part. Not saying that they wouldn't put in the effort, because we've seen them put in the effort elsewhere. Oh, yeah. But I just don't think they would see it as a valuable use of their time.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if you get started now, maybe we can get this collection for the 30th anniversary.
Hey, there you go.
But by that point, I don't know where gaming will be. So there you go. Yeah. And I don't think Hasbro used to have Hasbro Interactive, but that dissolved a long time ago. I think they don't have necessarily a video game division. They just work with different partners, like different actual gaming companies, to partner with them. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that they have a video game division. They just work with dedicated video game companies instead of having their own. That's why on Battle for the Grid, the Hasbro logo is there in addition to Lionsgate. There you go. Quick announcement for the podcast. We will be releasing, obviously, this is the first episode in the month of May. For our extra episode, I think we'll just do something a little bit different, since that will be the last episode before we go on a little bit of hiatus. Before we go a little bit on a hiatus. And the reason I say that is because apparently I got a move at the end of June. And it was just a little unexpected, but not really. I knew my lease was expiring, but we were hoping to renew it for a third year over here. So we're not going to have any episodes in the month of June, since I need that entire month.
Or at least no episodes stuff that Eric has edited. We don't.
Or that. I mean, AP can record something on her own, and I can definitely release it. if she wants to go through with her idea and she wants to submit something to me, by all means, I don't know. It's up to her. It sounds like something that a few of our listeners might be into, apparently. And who knows? It might just shatter all of our previous records. But yeah, so as far as I know, we will not be releasing a new episode in June. We're really appreciative to our listeners. We all put a lot of hard work into this show, and we've been really consistent, you know, giving you a new episode every other week, or almost every week, for all of you. And I don't like taking a break, but I have to. Life reasons. And also, I'm not only moving, but Zach is moving.
Yeah, this is kind of coming around, I wouldn't say at an optimal time. There is no optimal time for us to take a break from you guys.
Sure.
But, I am also moving this summer. I am moving to Florida which is quite a bit farther south than I'm used to. And also, I will be... Basically, the story of it goes like this. We are getting a house made for us. We have bought a plot of land that they are building a house that we picked the specifications for.
That's awesome.
However, this also means that the house will not be ready until November. We're moving in July. So for the months of July, August, September, and October, I will be living with my sister and my brother-in-law, which means...
Are you even going to be on the podcast?
That's what I'm trying to get at, is I have absolutely no idea what the living situation will be like. Will try to be on as much as possible. If I need to record from a secondary computer in like the den far away from everyone, so be it. But I will absolutely try to be on the show as much as possible. But I am taking a little bit of a longer hiatus than Eric will be. So I'm sure in the meantime, he'll have plenty of awesome guest hosts. I know that there are a ton of our awesome listeners who have contributed to the show in the past, who just kill it every time, and it's always a joy to listen to them. Just, yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those life-changing situations that it kind of sprung up one day, and then it was like, well, this is going to be life now. So, like I said, I'll try to be on the show as much as possible. I love the show. I love being able to hang out with Eric and AP and talking with you guys in Ranger Nation, of course. I'll be active on Twitter.
This sounds like a goodbye, but it's not.
It's really, it's not a goodbye by any stretch of the imagination. It's just...
We are permanent hosts together, the three of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine doing this without the two of you.
This is not a goodbye. This is not me saying, hey, I'm quitting or anything like that.
I could not
imagine ever stopping this show because I love these two people who do this craziness with me, and I, you know, am so thankful to be a part of it. But it's just that life is kind of sucky right now, and will mm-hmm. continue to be until about November. This is a situation that I am just going to have to kind of put up with for a while. So like I said, I'll try to be on as much as possible. However, just know that my appearance on Ranger Command will be pretty limited for the foreseeable few months.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly when we're coming back, since I move at the end of June, and you know, probably for July might be half of a month type of situation, depending on you know, unpacking and getting internet and all that fun stuff. We will definitely keep all of our listeners in the loop as to what's going on, and we're still going to be putting out content on social media, so we'll be around. We're not going anywhere. We're just taking a little bit of a break in June, and for our Patreon supporters, like we did last year when we went on another month hiatus, you will not be charged for that month. If we're not putting out content, we're not going to charge you for it. So that's something that I will stand by, and I will communicate that to everyone on our platform pretty soon. So, yes, but for right now, we do have episodes after this before we go on our hiatus. And how that relates to Power Rangers Survivor. Well, Doug and I were planning to do Power Rangers Survivor, and we're still planning it. It's still going to happen. It's just not going to be a summer event. It's probably going to be when I have a little bit more time after I personally move. But we have something really cool planned. I do have a trailer that I need to cut for it. We have a really great idea for it, and I teased it on the live stream that we did for Beast Morphers giveaway, which by the time this episode airs, our giveaways are over. Congratulations to all the winners. But we teased it on our live stream. I have not teased it on the podcast. We're doing something a little bit different with Power Rangers Survivor, where we are bringing it live to YouTube. Mm-hmm. We will have a live Power Rangers Survivor. It's going to be Power Rangers good versus evil. Survivor Good versus Evil. We're going the David versus Goliath season of Survivor, which was one of the newer ones that aired, in which I need to get start watching so I can know how that season goes. But we're planning something really cool. I know that before we do the live episode, Doug and I will record our character selection portion of the episode separately, not live. And that will serve as kind of like a prelude to the podcast, because apparently a lot of people enjoy our character selection talk and how we come to the decision of these teams. But we're also doing that because I'll know the teams ahead of in advance. And for the live stream, what we're going to do is hopefully I can get everything worked out. And we plan on doing like intros for all of the characters, like an actual intro cut, like an actual Power Rangers intro for Survivor and like actual graphics as we're doing the episode live. And what this is going to do is we are going to give anyone who's participating in the live stream a chance to be part of the tribal council at the end of the season. So literally our listeners will pick the winner of our next Power Rangers Survivor.
Wow.
So it's pretty ambitious. I hope we can pull it off. But now that I'm moving, it's going to be pushed back a little bit because this is an ambitious plan and I'd rather be settled. Apparently Doug found a new place too, which he has this amazing like open closet that already has a desk built into it, which is kind of like a makeup counter thing. But apparently he's going to turn that into like a podcast recording booth.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be all set up for this. I'll be all set up for this. We want to give our listeners a kick live stream. I've got a big 20-sided die that I bought at C2E2 specifically for Power Rangers Survivor. This replaces the crappy foam die that I had from Loot Crate that all the numbers are now rubbing off because it's Loot Crate makes stuff. So I got an actual permanent, like really hard, large 20-sided die, which I will need to find a nice surface to roll that on so I don't damage anything. But anywho, Power Rangers Survivor, it's happening. Stay tuned later in the year. And once again, we'll just keep everyone situated on what's going on with the hiatus.
Also, you know, it occurs to me there is the silver lining of I will be living very close to Orlando, and there are already plans in motion for me to go to Ranger Stop. So
I could cover that for the show.
Which is a convention we have not covered in person yet.
Hey, that's going to be amazing.
Maybe yeah. I'll show up.
It would be awesome.
And not tell anybody. I'll just be there.
Oh, God.
Why am I getting deja vu?
I'll just sneak up behind Zach one day and just be like, just tap him on the shoulder.
I would legitimately lose my sh-. I want you to know that. If you randomly showed up, AP, and you're like, hey, it's me, I'd be like,
oh, you guys are going to hang out without me.
Well, I will have a guest bedroom, Eric.
Oh, hey-o.
So you're always welcome to come visit when I moved in.
Save on savings.
There you go.
All right. Well, Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, you can email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at rangercommand.com. We're on Twitter at Ranger Command PH, on Instagram and Facebook at Ranger Command Power Hour, all one word. Contact us on our website, fill out a listener survey, or just listen to some cool episodes because we have our entire backlog of episodes. We have a new episode list. If you go to the episodes tab on our website, you will find a page called the episode list, and it's just like it says. You can.
It is the episode list.
It's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yep. Yep. So you can find any past episode without digging through all of our site. Everything is all there in just one big page. You can do a control F and search for, if you remember the title, if you're like, hey, I want to listen to the first Power Rangers Survivor, just type in Survivor and you'll see all of our past episodes there. So it's a really great resource, and I don't know why I haven't done it before, because I do it for Ranger Board and Toku Nation on our threads there. And I was like, wow, I should really do this for the website. So now you have it. I'm sorry it took 5 years. So, all right. Well, until next time, Ranger up.
Mm-hmm.
Go for gold.
You're not going to do the usual outro?
Activate beast power?
No, like if you have any questions, you can email us, all that.
I just did all that.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow, I'm just zoned out, I guess.
I don't remember it either. Oh my gosh.
Well, see,
I swear to God, I ran through the whole thing.
Roll it back.
Oh my God, you guys.
We don't even listen. We don't even listen to the episode as we're recording it.
Wow. I am finding out so much in this fifth year of podcasting with you guys.
Oh,
wow.
I don't know, man. Maybe I just had a like brain aneurysm or something.
Did both of you have collective amnesia? What the hell's going on?
This is evil. This is a plot by Evox.
Oh my God. My co-hosts have been infected. Oh my God. Maybe that's the next skit that we do. Anywho, I'm saying too much. All right. Woo! See you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphin Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at Ranger Command Power Hour. Ranger Command is also on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks for listening.